you nor forsake you. You can also put your name there. And so if we ever start feeling lonely, that just means we're just denying the Bible. If we ever say, well, I just feel like I'm all by myself, well, first off, now we're running off feelings. Because now we're saying that we feel like we're all by ourselves, we're in this alone. But I thought God said that He'd never leave you or forsake you. So then we're just kind of denying everything that He's already told us. So a lot of times whenever we're talking like that, we're just denying everything that God said, right? Amen. I agree. Amen. But He's with us always, right? Amen. Continually. Here to help us. I'm actually going to talk about faith is not hope again. Amen. Actually going to go over pretty much the same stuff again. Amen. Amen. We'll pray and get into it. Father God, we love, thank you, praise you, and magnify your holy name. Thank you, Father God, for the Holy Ghost. I thank you. You told him, you said, if I don't leave, then he can't come. The comforter, the helper, the advocate, the standby, the teacher. And I thank you, Father God, he lives on the inside of each and every one of us that are filled or saved and are filled with the Holy Ghost. I thank you, Father God. We just ask you, Holy Ghost, to unveil and reveal to us truths in your word. And I thank you, Father God, we won't just walk up to light and stay there, but we'll just continue to walk into the light and through the light, Father God. That way more revelation and light will be unveiled to us. I thank you, Father God, we will continue to just walk in your truths. Amen. And just study and know your word better, Father God, for that way we are able to live in a victorious life and we won't ever be deceived. Amen. And so, Father God, we love, make my tongue as the pen of a ready writer this morning. Amen. And speak forth the things that you would have for us this morning, not from Ricky, but from the Holy Ghost. I thank you, Father God, there will be truths unveiled this morning unto us, even unto myself. And I thank you for it. And everybody that agreed said amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to start off kind of like I did the other Wednesday. If you wasn't here Wednesday, it was pretty good. Amen. Holy Ghost really helped me out a lot. Amen. But a few things I wrote down is, are we really in faith when we pray or speak? Amen. And then, are we expecting to receive? And what are we expecting? What are we expecting? You know, these questions we can obviously ask ourselves in every area of our life, you know. What are we truly expecting? You know, whenever we're praying about stuff, what are we truly expecting? Whenever we speak out stuff, what are we truly expecting? Because a lot of times, you know, you can hang out with somebody and tell within a little bit what they're really expecting by what they're talking about and how they sound like. Because I can tell you that I'm in faith about something and turn around, walk away from you, and then talk lack and doubt. So, I mean, a lot of times we can't ever say, well, I wonder if stuff's not working for them. Well, first off, we can't live with everybody 24/7. So we don't know what's going on in each and everybody's life, correct? We only know what's going on in our life. Not only that, we shouldn't worry about everybody else's life because now we're being a busybody. Amen. So, I mean, if we took enough attention, as much attention that we focus on other people a lot of times, if we put that same attention on our body, son, we'd be just straight and narrow. I learned that a long time ago. I really did. Holy Ghost said, if you paid as much attention to yourself as you do everybody else, you wouldn't have any problems. I said, well, thank you. Thank you. I'll correct and keep walking now. Amen. Hope is a good waiter. You can write this down. Hope is a good waiter. Hope is a good waiter, but a poor receiver. Hope is a good waiter, but a poor receiver. Hope is a good waiter, but a poor receiver. Amen. Hope won't get the job done, but faith will.
Amen.
Right? Amen. Turn over to Romans 8, please, 8:19. Brother Hagin was ministering, which he did a lot, obviously. But he went to this one church, and he wrote it down. He said, I've spoke on faith at this church 9 different times. It's either 9 or 10 different times. And so he went back to this church, and he was actually going to preach something else. He said, you know, the Holy Ghost just prompted him to preach on faith again. And he pulled it out. He said, look, you know, like God doesn't know what you're doing. But he said, look, I've already preached this, because he wrote down everywhere that he preached and what he preached at every place. That's pretty amazing. He got record of it, right? But he said, look, I've preached this here eight or ten times so far. Look, I got the dates and every time I've done it, and here it is. And they should have it by now, he said. Spurgeon said, you've never really preached a message unless you preached it 50 times. Amen. Not only that, whenever you hear a good song on the radio, what's your normal thing to do? But yet, when it comes to the Word of God, a lot of times people's like, well, don't you know anything different? But in the world, we'll just constantly listen to something that we like. It doesn't profit us none. We just like it. But we'll hit repeat. Actually, we'll hit repeat so many times on that song until we don't like it anymore. It's funny, ain't it? And so Brother Hagin said, look, I've preached this many times here so far. They should have it by now. They should have it. And so he tried to preach something else, but the Holy Ghost just wouldn't let him go on. So he said, all right, I'm going to go ahead and do it. So he preached faith, and it was the ninth time he did it, and then that was the tenth time. And he said, after that service, a man walked up to me and said, you know, and the guy wrote it down. He said, this is the tenth time you preach this here, and I just now got it. Because, you know, we've been reading a book. It's pretty good on leadership. And he says, you know, people only receive 20% of what they listen to or what they're taught each time. So each time when you're reading something or studying something, you're only getting 20% of it. Did y'all know that? Why do you think in school you got to keep going over the words or going over your studies and things like that to get a good grade? Because you're only getting 20% of it each time. So how many times you got to go over it till you're at the full? Right? And so, I mean, a lot of things in the world, we actually need to, not that kind of stuff, just the way we do things, I guess, better way, like the 20% studying and staying after it. We need to bring that over here. You know, we don't just, because I've heard something one time, automatically shut it off. Because there's more things in there than you can even realize. You know, there's more things in one scripture than, I guarantee there's more things in one scripture than any of us have ever seen. Any of us. Because if we think we truly got it all, and then God created me and you, not only me and you, but our minds. Our minds. Amen. Y'all all right? Y'all look a little funny this morning. Appreciate it. Romans 8. At least one of y'all laughed. At least one of y'all's awake. Amen. All right, we're doing good. Amen. For the earnest, Romans 8:19, it says, for the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. Correct? Which that is also known as hope, right? The earnest expectation. Amen. Correct?
Yes.
Amen. I agree. And then anything that points to the future or looks to the future is hope. All right? Anything that points to the future or looks to the future is hope. Anything that points to the future or looks to the future is hope. I need y'all to get that. Amen? It's not faith, because how is faith? Turn over to Hebrews 11. Let's read that real fast. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory be to God forevermore, Son. Excuse me. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory be to God. Hebrews, y'all are at 11, right? Amen. Hebrews 11, I'm going to read it to you out of the Moffat's real fast. It says that now faith, verse 1, now faith means that we are confident of what we hope for. Convinced. 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 What's being convinced? Absolute. That's a great definition. Absolute. I ain't wavering. I'm convinced that as soon as I speak this out, as soon as I pray about this, it is done. As soon as I put my mouth on it and I put my faith in it, it's done. I will not have to ever revisit it. I will not ever have to go back to it, and I will not have to check it to see if it's manifesting. Because Satan, a lot of times, will get us to check stuff, especially when we pray. Y'all remember Brother Hagin's daughter? Remember she had that big growth above her eye, and it was long distance, so they didn't make phone calls. But yet, you know, he's on the road a lot. He really was. But anyways, moving along. I will say this, every day, every single day, him and his wife would write a letter to each other. Every single day. It's amazing, ain't it? Yeah. Yeah. Every single day. You just making up some stuff there towards the end. I've run out of words. And I love you, I love you, I love you. But every day, amen, just letting her know how much she means to him. Amen. What are we doing, guys? What are we doing? When's the last time we did something, said something? Text the wife, you're beautiful, morning. Amen. Moving along, because some of y'all look real angry right now. What was we talking about? His daughter. Yeah, Brother Hagin's daughter, remember? Had that growth above her eye. And his wife wrote, said, you know, we took her to the doctor, got a growth above her eye. He said, all right. And that's the night that he said that he started. He went to bed. He woke up. He read healing scriptures for an hour. Then he meditated on those healing scriptures for an hour. And then he went to sleep for an hour or for 2 hours. Then he woke up again, meditated on read the healing scriptures for an hour, meditated on them for an hour, went to bed for 2 hours and woke up. See, how dedicated are we to actually getting answers? Amen. So he actually did this all night. Amen. And then he said, I'm going to pray at such and such a time. You be in agreement with me? And she said, all right. So he prayed. And then, you know, they didn't see anything change or whatever, right? And so he went home, and he was walking through the kitchen one day. I think he got up in the afternoon or something, and he was walking through there, and all of a sudden he had the thought, you ought to go check to see if that growth's still there. And he said, why? Why do I need to check something that I already know that is dissolved and is dead? Why would I have to check on something to see if the manifestations come to pass? Because once I said that it's dead and it cannot grow on my daughter's face, that was it. Why do I have to check to see if it's working now? Why? Why do we allow ourselves to check stuff like that? Because that is a little bit of wavering. You know that. Because now we're seeing if it actually worked. Yeah. So then we're actually not even really believing that it did work, because we are checking to see if it actually did work. Yeah. Amen. Y'all okay? Yeah. Say amen or something. Yeah. Throw something, something. Amen. Don't just sit there. Amen. So you see, he had a confidence. He was convinced. He was convinced that as soon as they prayed, that was it. That growth cannot stay on his daughter's eye, and it's got to leave. See, he was convinced of it. Are we convinced? Whenever we pray, are we convinced? Are we? We need to ask ourselves that. And that's why we don't just need to pray about everything all willy-nilly. You need to get something established on the inside of you. And that something needs to be the Word of God. That way, whenever you speak things out, you know that there's no wavering. I know that the thoughts, I know that things are going to try to come to shake me off of what I'm believing for, what I've already believed in, but it won't be able to, because I'm founded. I'm standing firm. Yes. I'm not wavering. I'm not going to get kicked off.
Amen.
You know, right here. Let me read this one. Holy cow. No, we won't read that right now because it's 10:40 already. Amen. Anything that points to the future, amen. Job 22:28. Job 22:28, the classic. Amplified, please. Amen. Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee. And then there's the Amplified classic. It says, you shall also decide. Yes. That word is a major factor in our life. Yes. Because, see, if we're not even decided on actually what we want, then why are we trying to decree something? Because now we're not even settled. Now we don't even actually know what we really want because we ain't decided on what we wanted yet. But here it says, you shall also what? And then do what? And then what's going to happen? And then what? Amen. Amen. And then, the light of God's favor shall shine upon your ways. But you'll decide and decree a thing, and it'll be established for you. It'll be established for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me look this up real fast. The message, I'm going to look at it in the message real fast, see what that says. Oh, I went to the wrong verse. Holy cow. We're getting there. Amen. I got too many phones up here. You'll decide what you want, and it will happen. Amen. And your life will be bathed in light. Amen. You'll decide what you want. And it will happen. And then the CEB, it says, if you decree something, it will stand. It will stand. If you decree something, it will stand. And so I looked up the word stand. It means to be upon the feet. It means to be erect, supported by roots. Not to be overthrown, or demolished. Amen. Hallelujah. where's that other one? To be in a state of fixedness. Amen. To be in a state of fixedness. To be in a state of fixedness. Amen. Well, what is that? That sounds a lot like being decided too. Because now you're in a state of fitness. Now you're rooted because now you know what you're believing for. You got scripture to stand on. You ain't moving. And then let me see. There was another one in there that I wanted to read. It said, continue to endure. Where was that one that said, amen. Unmovable, yeah. To be in or maintain a posture of resistance. Yes. Amen. To continue unchanged. Amen. To continue unchanged. To be in a state of fixedness. To be in regard of mind. Amen. To succeed, to maintain one's ground, not to fail, to be adequate, to be safe. Amen. Amen. And so when we are in a state of fixedness, that means that we're focused. Anything's not just going to knock us off our feet. Anything's not going to make us wonder what we're doing or why we're trying to believe God for this, right? Amen. Hope doesn't get the job done. Amen. Hope doesn't get the job done. What does? Believing does, right? Amen. Turn over to Mark 11, please. To be in a state of fixedness, you're focused. Nothing's able to get your eyes off of it. Amen? And it really sounds a lot like the Israelites. Remember whenever the snake started coming through the camp, they put the snake on the rod and they said, as long as you keep your eyes on the top of this rod, on this, even if the snakes bite, nothing's going to happen. Amen. And so what they have to do, they had to stay in a state of what? Fixedness. They had to stay rooted. They had to stay grounded. Because, you know, think about that. Because that sounds a lot like what goes on in the world. You know, you're believing God for something. And then all this, you're like, thank you, God, I'm healed and whatever. And then you're going along. And then all of a sudden you get a pain. You're like, oh, man, I thought I was healed of that. See, now our fixedness or our gaze just got right off of what our answer is and got over here focused on something else now that's looking at the pain in our body that's saying, I thought I was healed. And so now the whole fixedness, the whole being sturdy and standing is gone. And so now Satan's trying to work in us, trying to get something, even if there is a pain, to bite on it. That's all it is. But we don't have to bite on it. We don't have to accept it. All we got to just remind him, look, I was healed the night I prayed. That's not my pain. That doesn't belong to me. Or whatever's going on, right? Where did I tell y'all to go? Mark 11? That's a good place to go. Amen. I'm going to pull it up. Will you pull it up in the King James real fast, please? Mark 11, 24. I didn't tell you the verse, sorry. Mark 11, 24 says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire. There's another one. When you pray, believe that you what? Receive. And what's going to happen? And you'll have them. So you'll have to believe that you receive them, and then what? You'll have them. In the NIV, it says, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have. That you have. Is that past tense, future tense? That's a now tense, present tense. That you have it. Correct? Believe that you have. And you believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Amen. What I write down. Obviously, I want to point out a couple of them, really. It says, when you pray, believe. So we obviously have a part to play, correct? We have to believe it. Then we got to believe that we received it. Amen. And then we'll have them. That's the King James, right? Amen. A person that truly believes that they have what they're prayed about, regardless if they still feel sick, regardless what their bank account says, regardless of if the situation has changed or not, after a man, instantly, they will begin thanking God. Because, see, whenever you actually pray about something, whatever it is in your life, and you say, Father God, I thank you. This healing does not belong to me. I curse it. I command it to die, and I command it to leave my body. Now, Father God, I thank you for your healing anointing flowing through my body. And, body, I command you to line up to the Word of God and to function how God designed you to function. I thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Amen. And if I say amen, then I go, whew, man, my back really hurts. Golly. I just don't feel good. I feel sick. Well, do I actually believe what I just said? Because I went straight from believing to doubt. Well, thinking I was believing, really didn't even believe to get go. I'm just trying to quote scripture thinking that that's going to do something and not add any faith to it and just stay in doubt and just hope that something magically happens. And it's not going to, because faith is the currency. Because now faith is what? The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of what? Things not seen. Amen. Faith. So if I'm in faith, and as soon as I pray that, I just say, thank you, God, I'm healed, regardless of what I feel like. I was working with my dad when I lived there in Oklahoma, and one day he just wasn't acting himself. You know, my dad plays a lot and laughs a lot. And so just one day he wasn't acting himself. I was like, I wonder what's going on. Well, actually, I was like, oh, what'd I do? You know, because, you know, you just walk straight all day, right? Ain't saying jack. But and so I was like, man, something's going on. And never asked him or anything. Well, I'd say, you all right? He's like, yeah, I'm fine. All right. And so we just kept going. And then the next day, he's like, son, I had a bad fever yesterday. He said, I hurt all over my body, but I couldn't even tell. Me, not him saying that, me. I just knew he wasn't himself. But I couldn't tell that he had a fever and was feeling like a dog. He ended up going home after we got done working. Because, see, whenever you believe you're healed, regardless of how you're feeling, you still get up and do whatever you need to do. Because if you believe that you're healed, you're not going to stay in bed talk about I'm sick. Because I thought you believed you were healed. And if you truly believe you are healed, you'll get up and act like you do every single day then. Correct? Yes. So then if we're actually, you know, it's like praying over a bill or something. If we truly believe that God supplies all my needs, I'm not going to go to the bill every day and cry over it. God, I thought you was going to help me. God, you know I'm a tither. Well, yeah. You know, I said it Wednesday, Satan knows you're a tither. What does that have to do with anything? You can't, you know, you're just stating a fact. You're just telling God something he already knows. God, I'm a tither. And he looks at you and goes, yeah, you are. But what are you believing? What are you speaking out? Or how'd you pray over it? Do you even pray over it? Or are you just telling God what you already do that he already knows? God, I'm a tither. Expecting that to do something. But yet he said, ask, and it'll be what? Amen. Instantly, people that believe that they received it begin thanking God. Y'all remember the story about Brother Hagin? I guess we're not talking about hope. Maybe we'll get to it in a minute. Y'all remember the story about Brother Hagin whenever he was sick? Remember? He was sick. And I guess it was bad enough that people were staying home. The entire football team, the school was shut down because this bad fever or flu or whatever it was going through town. One person got it, was bedfast for like 2 weeks, he said. But he said that he came down, his mom, he checked his temperature that night, and he came down with like 102 or something fever. And he said, well, mom, just call for the pastor, have him come over, pray, and I'll be healed. And so the pastor came over, prayed. He said, all right, I'm healed. And his mom checked his temperature right after, and she said, no, you're not. You got 102 fever still. What do you think? He said, oh, I thought I had it. I thought I was healed. I thought the Bible said that if I prayed. And see, as soon as Satan gets you questioning the Bible, you're not sturdy at all. It's like climbing up one of these 100-foot palm trees trying to trim the limbs on that. Y'all ever seen them things? They're big around as much. Why would I climb up there to... Now, this I'm just saying this. Why would I climb up that little bitty skinny thing thinking that it'd hold me to... I ain't not today because it's doing this number. Nope. Why? Mm-mm. But that's how some of us get sometimes, because if he gets us questioning that, we're looking just like this. He said, all right, I got them now. Now just keep poking at them. Just keep saying something to them and they'll fall off. Because if we're not like this and we start doing this, he'll be like, oh, I got them. I got them shaking. I got them questioning everything that God told them. Amen. But if we actually believe it, oh, Brother Hagin, yeah, let me keep him over there for a minute. But he said, you know, I don't care, Mom. I'm healed. As soon as the pastor said amen, it's mine. It belongs to me.
Right.
She said, well, son, you know, you got a temperature. No, I don't. And he's not just trying to deny the fact, deny that he does have a temperature. He's just not accepting it.
Right.
He's not accepting that. No, Mom, that is not mine. That doesn't belong to me. And so the next morning he got up. His mom came in there, checked his temperature again. It was like up to 102 or something like that, 103, or maybe 101, maybe whatever it was is the temperature. She said, son, I don't think you should go out today because there was another lady that was feeling sick that he was going to go pray for. Amen. And so his mom said, son, I don't think you should go. You're sweating. You still got a fever. He said, I'm fine. I'm fine. He's not trying to just deny and hoping it'll go away. Amen. We can't just stand somewhere. That's not mine. 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 That's not mine.
Come on,
Amen. That ain't going to get you nothing but just tired and need some water. Anyways, so he said, it doesn't matter. Mom, I'm healed. You don't remember? Right. Pastor prayed. As soon as he said amen, that was it. It's mine. And so he got up out of bed and actually walked to this lady's house. And he said, I'm not going to lie. He said it was in southeast or southwest Texas or north, wherever it was, I forget. He said it's flat land, just flat all the way. There's no hills. There's no mountains, nothing. Flat land. I don't know if you've ever been to Texas or not, but a lot of it's just like see for miles, like driving through Kansas. Just corn for days. Just makes you want to set it on fire. No, don't do that. But if you do, call me. I'll be on the other side ready to shoot the deer and run through it. No, I'm joking. I'm just joking. But for real though. But Brother Hagin, yeah. And so he said, I started walking. He said, and it felt like I was walking uphill the whole way. So see, his body is really fighting him. This sickness is truly trying to take over his body because he's hurting. He said, it felt like I was walking uphill the entire way. And y'all know how we feel sometimes whenever a fever tries to attach itself to us. You know how you feel, especially or a sickness or something. Man, sometimes it feels like it just knocks your head right where your feet were a second ago. You just feel just beat up kind of, right? But yet he said, no, as soon as we prayed, it's mine. It belongs to me, right? Yeah. And so he said, I got up and he said, it felt like I was walking uphill the whole way. Yeah. He said, but there came a point.
That's right.
He said, there came a point. He said, about a mile or a mile and a half into it, he said, the fever broke instantly and I was fine.
Yeah.
The fever broke instantly. See, he had to walk that out. He had to stand on his faith. He had to stay firm. He had to stay fixed. He couldn't waver about it. Could he? Because what do you really think would have happened if he'd have been walking and it feels like he's going uphill the whole way, hurting, and just go, God, this is too much, man. I should probably go home and get back in bed. You just lost all the advancement that you just made. You just lost. And too many times our answer is right there and we walk right up to it. But we feel like, you know, my body, I don't know if I can do this right now. I better go lay down. And our answer was right in front of us the whole time. But yet we allowed Satan to talk us or to question the Word of God. Question everything that God told us. Question everything that Jesus did on the cross. Bad place to be, right? Amen. But we're getting better, right? Amen. Because I would be like that sometimes. Amen. Because I got to live this out like everybody else does, right? I'm not special. Y'all know that, right? I mean, I am special, but, you know. Y'all are all the same. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Faith says, I'll receive right now. I believe I have my petition now when I pray. Faith says, I'll receive right now. I believe I have my petition now when I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Where are y'all at, scripture-wise? All right, let's go back over to Hebrews, please. Hebrews 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence. What's evidence?
Proof.
Amen. Evidence of things not seen. Faith is that. Is that faith is taking hold of the unseen realm of hope and bringing it into the realm of reality. Amen. Faith is taking hold of the unseen realm of hope and bringing it into the realm of what? Reality. Bringing it into the realm of reality. Faith is present tense, not future tense. I hope I'll get it one day. I hope I'll receive it one day. That's future tense, correct? So, anybody else hot? Hallelujah. Thank you. I'm sweating. Faith is present tense, not future tense, correct?
Yes, sir.
Yes, because let's read it real fast. What does chapter 11, verse 1 say? Now faith. Now faith. Not one day faith. One day faith is the substance of things hoped for. You know, one day you'll get what you're believing God for. Because faith is a now. And so you got to believe you have it before you get it. You know that, right? You have to truly believe God. Once I said amen, it belongs to me. It's mine regardless of what it looks like right now. And so that's believing God that what you said, it's yours. It belongs to you before you see the evidence of it. Because if we're checking evidence, we don't truly believe what we said. We're not checking evidence. We're checking faith. Faith says it's mine now as soon as I pray, regardless of what everything looks like. Right? Amen. We got to get our believing in the present tense for things to work for us. We got to get our believing in the present tense for things to work for us, right? Believing faith is having by faith what you ask God for. You should write that down. Believing faith is having by faith what you ask God for. Believing faith is having by faith what you ask God for. Amen? Faith says the same thing that the Word of God says, right? Yes, it does. I agree. Unbelief is really taking sides against God's Word. Unbelief is really taking sides against God's Word. Amen? Anyone who is talking doubt and unbelief are taking sides against the Word of God, and then these same people wonder why God's Word doesn't work for them. And it talks, actually, we'll just turn over there. James, please. James 3, real fast. Say amen when you get there. It's just a couple pages over. Hey, man. All right, right on. I made it for you. You did. I'm faster. But that's besides the point. Everybody there? It's just right after Hebrews. Okay. All right, you're welcome. Thank you. It says James 3, right there. James 3, about verse 8. Says, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we man, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Right? Amen. What's it saying? It's saying exactly what we just said. Right here it says that talking doubt or unbelief is taking sides against the Word of God. And, you know, those people sometimes are wondering why God's Word doesn't work for them. That's simply saying, if I believe God for something, I pray about something, I said amen, it's mine, it belongs to me, but I go down the road for 2 or 3 days, something comes up, and I instead of going, no, I don't care what that, I don't care. That's got nothing to do with me. It doesn't belong to me. The day I prayed, I received it, and it's mine now. But people sometimes wavering will go, man, I thought I believed God for that. I thought I prayed about that, God. And now Satan's got us questioning God.
Yes.
Like it's God's fault. But yet, it's talking about people speaking out of both sides of their mouth. Well, what's that? That's blessing over here on this side, but a situation comes up that we don't like that's going against what we're believing. Now we're speaking cursing on this side. That's trying to speak out of both sides of our mouth. And then get confused, my things don't work for you. Well, what are we talking about? Am I truly staying in faith about it? Or am I talking doubt, lack, and unbelief about it? Because, I mean, just go whenever you go home, check, say, or just think about, what have I been talking lately then? What have I been saying? Have I been speaking against everything I'm believing God for? Is that what's going on? Has Satan got me questioning everything about the Word of God now? Because if he is, then we're not walking in the fullness of what God has for us. We're not staying in faith about it. We're wavering. We're questioning everything. Everything that God's done for us. And you know, everything was taken care of on that day.
Yes.
He took 40 stripes. I don't care what people, what they say, well, they created it. I don't care what's going on. I don't care if they create some kind of new disease. It's got nothing to do with me. That can go back to his father, Satan. That's who it belongs to. Because once you know the authority that's in, on the inside of you that God gave you, things can't touch you. Who was it, John G. Lake, that with the disease, John G. Lake overseas. What kind of disease was it again? Yeah. Some kind of disease. The bubonic plague, wasn't it? The plague was going on over there, killing people right and left. And he said, he wanted to go in. They said, you can't go in. This will kill you. He said, no, it won't. Put some in my hand and put it underneath the microscope. And so they put some in his hand. As soon as it touched his hand, it died. See, you need to know your authority, the authority that you walk in, and that's who's backing you. God gave me the authority because I'm seated at the right hand with God. We're all seated there. You know that, right? Ephesians 2, read it, or 3, I believe. We're seated at the right hand of God. That's who we are. So things can't touch us. And so, and once we know our authority and you stand there, it has to die. It's got to bow its knee. It has to. It's got no choice. Hebrews 11 again. Faith is not hope, right? No, it's not. Amen. Let me skip down through some of this real fast. Wanting. Like, God, I want to be healed. Saying stuff like that. God, I want this. Or God, I want to be healed. Or God, I want my bills to be paid. You know, I said it Wednesday. God, you might want a new Cadillac, but just because you want it doesn't mean you're driving it.
That's right.
You got to do something about the Cadillac, correct? You got to go to the store. You got to buy it. Right?
Yes, sir.
Amen. So just wanting something doesn't mean that it's going to work for us, right?
Right.
Amen. Faith that receives from God isn't hoping or wavering.
That's right.
Or wanting, I mean. Amen. The only kind of faith that gets the job done is the Bible kind of faith, which believes God and acts on what it believes.
Right.
See, are we acting on what we believe? Do we act on what we believe? Amen. That should let you know where you're at. Amen. We receive from God. We will not receive from God because we hope. Amen. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that when we pray, we'll receive what we hope for. Does it? No, it don't. It says, Mark 11:24, remember? It says, what things soever you desire when you pray, hope that you receive them and you'll have them. No, it doesn't. Y'all turn over there, please. Because some of y'all are like, man, does it say that? Mark 11:24, real fast. Amen. Mark 11:24, it says, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, hope that you receive them, and you'll have them." What things soever you desire when you pray, believe. 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 Well, I hope I get healed whenever we pray. Well, I hope my bills are paid for after we pray. There's this one lady Brother Hagin prayed for that she needed an extra $100, her and her husband. You know, he's working, but they had a bill come up. And so he said, "All right, you know, you want me to be in agreement with you that y'all have an extra $100 come this month?" She said, "Yes." He said, "All right." So he told her, he said, "Well, look, let me pray and you just listen to my prayer. Because if I pray and you pray, we're not in agreement. We both might be going two ways. So we need to take note of that." Yes, amen. Right? Yeah. If you're in agreement, then both of y'all ain't praying two separate ways. Yeah. If you're in agreement, that means one person's praying and everybody's agreeing. Correct? Yeah. Amen. Yeah. All right. So, but he said, "All right." So we prayed. He prayed for it. And as soon as he prayed, he said, "Well, is it done, sister?" And she goes, "Well, I hope so." He said, "It's not." Well, he's being mean. No, he's not. No, he's not. He's wanting her to see it. He's wanting her to get the truth of it. He said, "No, it's not, because number one, we're supposed to be in agreement. I'm believing and you're hoping." So number one, we ain't in agreement. But hope ain't going to get the job done either. Will it? No, because hope is what? An earnest expectation. Or I looked it up, 1828. It also says a desire. A desire. So he said, "Well, it's not done." And she said, "Really?" And so he explained it to her. He said, "No, because we're not in agreement. And it's not hope. It's faith." And so she got lined up and they received it. Amen. And so sometimes we might think people's being mean, but they're trying to help us, right? I can't tell y'all how many times I've sat in the front of or sat in church when the pastor was talking, and I felt like he was beating me over the head with a bat. I never got up mad. I started to get mad, you know, my flesh, man, because there ain't nobody going to talk to me like that. I'm perfect, pretty much. Who are you to tell me how to live my life? You know, you know, just me acting like that? All right. Mm-hmm. Good. Amen. You know, I got kicked out of my... We better go on. Amen. I got kicked out of my parents' house after I got out of the military, moved back home. I was doing stuff I shouldn't have. Parents kicked me out. Guess what I did? I got mad, threw a fit, didn't ever go back to their church again. No. Because I was grown up enough to know I messed up. They didn't. I knew the rules. I knew what was allowed and wasn't allowed. I messed up. And so I very politely said, "Yes, ma'am." I got my stuff and I left. Had no place to go. Ended up getting a trailer that night from a buddy and lived out by the lake for a little bit. It was not fun at all. But I continued to go to their church. I continued to go to their church. Because number one, I know that my answers are there. Because first off, they were my pastors. They still are. Amen. They help me out a lot. They really do. As well as you know, Pastor Tim and Barb. Because they've done this, just like my parents, for a very long time. We just hit 1 year. I don't know everything, just so y'all know. Amen. We learning this a day at a time. Amen. But I didn't allow my flesh to keep me from my answers. I wonder what my life would have looked like if I'd have got offended and left. Too many times, we allow Satan to get us offended over something stupid and jerk us right out of what God's calling us to do and not even realize it, and then wonder why our life is looking like this right now. Amen. Y'all okay? Please smile. Smile at somebody beside you and say, "It's okay. We're almost done." Amen. If you want to know if you're really believing God or if you're just hoping, I can tell you what the difference is, right? It's hope is always future tense because hope always looks to the future. Hope always looks to the future. Hope always looks to the future. Well, I hope I'll get healed. Well, I hope I'll... But faith, what is faith? And then let's look at it. Go back to Hebrews, please. I know I got y'all moving a lot, but it's good. Amen. Hebrews 11, 1. I forgot I looked that definition up. Have is to possess, to hold in possession, to have and to hold. So that sounds just like it's in your hands. That sounds just like you have it right now, don't it? Yeah. Amen. Well, where'd y'all go? Hebrews, yeah. Because now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What happened to the screen? I forgot. The lamp went out again. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What has substance to it? Faith. Say faith. What has substance to it? Does hope have any substance to it? Sure doesn't. Not at all. Matter of fact, zero. Because faith has the substance to it. And then that faith that has the substance to it is giving you what you're desiring. And then it's showing you the evidence of it. That it belongs to you. That it's yours now. That you're convinced, I have it. That's what faith does. See, hope doesn't have any substance to it. Not at all. So how is hope going to get you anything? If you're just in hope about everything, nothing will happen. Because you're just hoping. But yet hope has no substance to it at all. At all. Only faith has substance to it. Amen. So then we got to make sure that we're in faith, that we're desiring what we're wanting, but we're also attaching our faith with it. We're using our faith. We just can't hope and then think that it's going to come to pass. We got to have faith with it, right? Because now faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence, and the evidence of things not seen. I forget what translation it is, but it says faith is the substance of things hoped for. The title deed. Now, faith is the title deed. What does that mean? It's yours. You got the pink for it. You got the title that says everything that you're believing God for belongs to you. That's it. We ain't got to question it any longer. I don't have to go back and ask somebody if it's working. I don't even have to look at whatever I believe in God for to see if it's working. Because I know as soon as I prayed about it and I attached my faith with it, I decided and decreed it, yes. I'm standing. I'm standing. Because my faith has given substance to it. I don't have to give substance to it. Why am I trying to do something that only God can do? Because God gave me the faith to use, and then He gave me the ability to get faith, which is Romans. Where is it at? I forgot. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God? Yes. 10:9, something like that. Faith is the substance of things hoped. No. Now, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So God obviously gave me the ability to get faith. Yes. To get more faith, correct? Yes. Correct. And so then, I get in the Word of God, I see what belongs to me, and then that's it. Turn over to Philippians 2:10 real fast, please. Philippians 2:10. Faith is substance. Faith is substance. Faith gives substance to things hoped for. Faith gives substance to things hoped for. And faith gives substance to things hoped for. Amen. The evidence. Yes. The evidence. The conviction. The convincing. Yes. The title deed. Amen. Y'all there? Philippians 2. That at the name. That at that at, that at, look at that word, at, that at the name. What name? Your name?
No.
Whose name?
Jesus.
What's going to happen? Now look at that again. What's going to bow? And then of things in heaven, and then where? So then what's so at what name?
Jesus.
Every knee is going to do what?
Bow.
Of those in heaven,
yep.
And of those on earth,
yep.
And of those where?
Under.
So then does this virus have a name? You know, there's this one minister who was going to go see his cousin one day. They lived in another town. They said, don't come over. Everybody in here has got the flu. He said, that don't bother me. I won't get the flu. He said, well, I'm just letting you know, everybody's got the flu in here. Don't come over. Look, I'm not afraid of the flu. It's not going to bother me or affect me or my family. They went in there. Guess how many of them got the flu? Huh. Because he didn't give voice to it. He didn't recognize it. And he wouldn't meditate on it. So what are we recognizing? What are we giving voice to? And what are we meditating on? What are we recognizing? What are we giving voice to? And what are we meditating on? Because every knee, for faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, right there should just... I don't know how y'all just stood in your seats that long. I almost left. But at every name, or not every name, but at the name of Jesus, every knee. See, so that means every knee, I don't care if it's created or not, if man-made created, they still give it a what? And what does it have to do at Jesus' name? And see, so I read that. Now, I'm hallelujah, right? So now, if it tries to show up, I just say, at the name of Jesus, I command you to die now. See, it's got no substance in me. I don't give voice to it, and I'm not going to recognize it. I'm not going to talk about it. I'm not going to tell my friends, look out for it. No, because I commanded it to die, and it has to. Because I know it's not me, but at the name of Jesus. And it's not just, it's the one backing me when I say it. I'm decreeing what the Word of God says, and so I'm going to stay where I'm at. But I've got to make sure I'm staying in faith. I'm not wavering. I'm not just hoping that I don't get sick. I'm not just hoping that everything goes good this week. I'm staying in faith about it the entire time, and I'm not wavering.
Glory to God.
And I'm not wavering. I'm not allowing Satan to get me off kilter. I'm not allowing Satan to knock me down. Now look, if he knocks your head down, just realize it and get back up. Look, we've all fell down before. Did you stay down every time you fell? We was going through Iraq one night, and I don't know if, well, I guess none of y'all wore nods before unless you was in the military. It's night vision, what nods are. And so we're running along, and I had one eye is my left eye, actually. No, it's my right eye because I shoot right-handed. But anyways, regardless. Anyway, right? So, but it's funny. Well, whenever we was in basic, the first time we put on nods, they said, all right, y'all need to practice this before y'all just run off through the woods wearing them. Because everything in the nods looks like it's a lot farther than it is, or closer than it is. And so there was a hole in front of me one day whenever I first put them on, and I'm doing this for like 5 minutes trying to find this hole because it looked like it's a lot closer, but it's way over there. But anyway, that's besides the point. So we're going along through Iraq, and we're walking through this field. The grass is about my height, maybe a little shorter. And we're just going right through it, and obviously didn't see this ditch over here that's about 8 feet deep. Why? Because of grass. The next thing everybody else knows, they hear, God! What was that? That was Ricky going face first into a ditch. That's what that was. And so there's so much grass and bushes, I can't get out. I'm like stuck upside down. And so everybody's over there trying to pull me out. You think I just stayed there? And look, I'm not trying to brag about it, but I fell a lot in Iraq. The reason being is I wouldn't focus too much on the ground. I kept my eyes up to stay focused on what's out in front of me. And that's what we need to be doing in life. Amen. See, because if we start focusing on where we're at, how are we going to get to where we're going? Because now you're going to start tripping over. Well, you're going to see everything in front of you, but, I mean, your vision is just so small, you're not getting outside your little bubble at this point. You know, one night we're on patrol, right? We're going along, and y'all know the Christmas lights that are twisted, right? Well, they got smart, obviously, and started making bombs out of them. They'd take the light off and then peel the plastic on the other side, put two metal clips. And then once you drove over it or stepped on it, as long as the two metal touched, it'd go, you know, boom, happen, right? And so we're patrolling one night, and this is why I learned to keep my head up. So we're patrolling one night, and I just got put in this position. We're going along, and we're just going along. And I ended up walking over this deal, and then I hear a couple guys, the squad leader and the platoon sergeant, like one of them saying, go, and somebody's saying, come. And I couldn't understand a word that they were saying. And so I just turned around and I walked right back to them. I'm like, what are y'all yelling about? What's going on? They're like, Ricky, did you not see that? See what? You just walked over that IED right there. Walked over it twice, going that way and coming back. Right? But it shook me up for a minute. But I didn't lose focus. I didn't. I'm still watching. And you know, I learned not to just constantly do this the whole time. I'd still do one of these, check, and then get right back up, stay right back up top. Because I want to see what's in front of me. I want to see what's going on. If somebody's trying to come at me, I want to know what's going on. And we need to be the same way. We need to be alert. As a body of Christ, we need to be alert. We need to see what's going on. That way we know how to speak to things, decree things. Amen. Amen. It's 11:30. Okay, so, amen. We'll pray. Amen. Holy cow. I'm going to turn the clock back. can I tell y'all one more story? Just one more. Look up, anybody else hot? Holy cow. Look up confirming. I do want to talk about this one real fast, please.
Confirming.
Yeah. Dr. Bill Winston, remember, we was talking about his wife. And thank you. Thank you, God, for fans. Dr. Bill Winston's wife, y'all remember, she's believing God for a job. He went to college, all that. Not going to go through all that. Went to believing God for a job. And so he told her, he said, all right, well, let's just write down everything that you're believing God for, right? And so they said, all right. And so she wrote down how far she wanted the job to be from her house. She wrote down what kind of job she wanted. She wrote down if she wanted to be in her own office and what kind of office and all this stuff. And then she wrote down, he said, well, we only have one car. I'm going to college every day. So, you know, how do you want to get to work? What are we believing God for? She said, well, I'm believing God that they will give me a company car and let me drive it. And he said, all right. So they wrote it down. And so they were just going along. And he said, first off, she confirmed everything that she was believing God for. He said, because every time I looked around the house, there were scriptures up that was confirming what she was believing God for. What we wrote down on, he said, I'd go to the bathroom, lift up the lid, there'd be a scripture there. He said, I'd go to the fridge, open it up, there'd be scriptures everywhere. He said, every time I turned around, there were scriptures. She's constantly keeping something in front of her face. Not just something, but something that's confirming what she's believing God for. Yes. Something that's convincing her that, yes, this does belong to you. Yes. Not something that's saying, you really think that'll happen?
That's right.
You really think somebody's just going to give you a car to drive for work?
Yeah.
You really think? Look, she gave her application to the, what's them people that find you jobs sometimes?
Computers.
I don't know what any of y'all said, not going to lie to you. But one of them people.
Temporary.
Yeah, like looking for, like a temporary job, looking for a job, you know. But what's, I wonder if she would have kept friends in front of her that just spoke, man, you really think you're going to get that? You see how big that is? Look at that. You think you're going to get that? Why do you think you're going? You're not even qualified for that. You think you're qualified for this kind of job? You ain't even done nothing. But she just kept the word in front of her. Then one day, one of his buddies came over and asked her. She was out in the front yard planting flowers or something. And asked her, said, hey, did you get your job yet? And she said, yeah, it's mine. No evidence of it at all. She didn't have a job yet. She didn't have the car yet. And too many times, you know, well, anyways, why try to explain that to somebody that's not even believing like me? Why? And then I'm going to be talking out of both sides of my mouth because then I'm trying to explain, but I'm talking doubt the entire time. Well, you know, I just believe it's mine. Well, I don't see it. Yeah, I know, but it's just mine. Yeah. And then they'll get us the doubting it and question it. But anyways, going on. Right? And so she said it's mine. And then come find out, this temp agency, that's what it was, amen. This temp agency called her and said, hey, I'm new here. The guy that was here before me, I just took all everybody's application. I threw them all away. He said, I just happened to look down and I seen your name. And this company over here just called and was looking for somebody. You want to go? She said, yeah, I'll go. And so she went and interviewed. Guess what it was? Everything. And when I say everything, I mean everything.
Yeah.
That's what I mean when I say everything.
That's right.
Everything that she was believing God for. 10 minutes from the house, they gave her a car to drive, a company car. It was everything that she wanted to do. Everything. Every single thing she wanted to do. And guess where the company came from? Overseas. Not even from the U.S. It was a company overseas. See, her faith... See, her faith went overseas and grabbed the job that she was wanting, that she desired, and brought it over here to her 10 minutes from her house where she wanted it. Because, see, there, faith will do miraculous things. But we try to think about faith or reason out faith of what we think faith can do, and then we limit it. Amen. But she kept everything in front of her, confirming what she was believing for, right?
Yes.
Amen, I agree. And confirming means making firm or more firm, strengthening, ratifying, giving additional evidence or proof, establishing.
Yes.
Establishing. Establishing. She got established.
Yes.
She got established. She got rooted. Amen. She got rooted. Amen. Say amen to that. Amen. Y'all awake? Some of y'all, okay, we're moving along. Some of y'all okay? Please don't try to jump me after church. Some of y'all look a little mad right now. Let's give each other a high five. No, I'm joking. Amen. Father God, we love, thank you, praise you, magnify your holy name. Thank you, Father God, for your truths this morning. I thank you that, Father God, we won't just back away from the revelation or the light that we've received this morning, but we'll just continue to walk in it and walk through it and walk how you desired us to do it. And I thank you for your help, Holy Ghost. Help us if we do lack, or if we're backing up a little bit, or if we're allowing Satan to try to get us teeter-tottering, show us. Let us know. That way we can immediately correct it and just continue to move forward, Father God. We thank you for it and praise you for it in the name of Jesus. Amen.